Okay. Like Amanda said, I am Lisa Rasmussen, and I am the project leader for Arizona's IIS. And I'm going to be talking about our efforts to work on some of the fragmented records and coding of some Hoagie. As some background, ACES is the Arizona State Immunization Information System. It was created by a statute back in 1998, and it requires reporting of all vaccines administered to children under the age of 18. We currently have about 4.3 million patients and about 45 million vaccination events in our system. And I refer to it almost as a provider site-driven system. And what I mean by that is that records are actually owned by the provider offices. And so, therefore, there's no oversight with the state. With the state or the county or any local health jurisdiction. And so, therefore, records are basically in record cleanup, record management is all pretty much kept at the provider site level. And, of course, there's some challenges with that. So as far as reporting goes, we've got about 1,100 providers, but 900 of those are VFC, and the rest are non-VFC reporting providers that report through a number of different mechanisms. We have a web application. We accept flat file uploads. We are working to increase the number of HL7 uploads that we have, and we do allow for paper form reporting. We still have 57 sites statewide that are reporting through the paper forms. 22 of those report on a regular basis, so basically monthly. And then we contract for data entry services, so it gets a little bit expensive because we are paying about 59 cents per client visit that we are contracting for the data entry. And so, of course, there's always efforts underway to try to get these provider sites migrated from reporting through paper forms to either using our web service or any other electronic reporting system. Okay, Arizona is a recipient of a Sentinel Site grant through this 317 program. Our Sentinel Site area is comprised of seven counties in the northern half of the state. As you can see, they're outlined in yellow there. This is a very rural area of our state. Most of our population is in the Phoenix area. Let me see if I can get the mouse to work here. Phoenix area, which is right about here, and then the Tucson area is right here. The Grand Canyon kind of runs about where this line is here. And so, therefore, you know, it kind of gives you an idea. And this corner up here in the top of the state is where the Navajo Indian Reservation is located. So it's very rural. And I think what I checked the other day, some preliminary 2010 census information, that there's about 185,000 children in the area under the age of 18. Okay, now, we're the recipient of a ERA funding through the Sentinel site, and some of our data quality projects were based on some efforts to assist with some of the coding of the Mogi records, which has moved or gone elsewhere, and also some attempts to improve on some of the identification of duplicate records. Okay, let's see. When provider sites report to us through paper forms, sometimes these provider sites are reporting because they don't have internet or they don't have computers in their offices. And so, therefore, Arizona statute does allow them to report on paper. And because they're doing that and they're not necessarily using the registry, they're not tracking their MOGI status of their clients. And then with the Sentinel site area, it's a rural setting, and so, therefore, there's limited provider sites. And so there's minimal patient movement between the providers. First, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over a case study. This is one provider that we chose as part of our project with the data quality program. And this provider office is located in Mojave County, which is up on the Arizona-Nevada border. And it's only one of nine provider sites in the community that serves children. It's a site that reported through paper forms for about the past 10 years. Keep in mind our IIS is over 10 years now. And so, therefore, because they did not necessarily code their clients as inactive, they have many of them still on their patient roster. So what we did is the beginning of 2010, we did a COCASA assessment, and this was with data used pulled directly from the registry, and it was imported into COCASA, and it pulled information for children that were 12 to 23 month olds as of December 31st, 2009. My list here. I'm sorry. 327 patients were assessed. Their 431-331 rate was about 20%, which is pretty sad. And their DTaP drop-off rate was about 56%. And in using COCASA, the DTaP drop-off rate is kind of a good indicator as far as whether the children are up to date on their immunizations or what's going on, because it's calculated using those that, looking at those that got their first DTaP at 6 months, those that got their fourth by 24 months, and those that did not return. So what we did is we made a site visit. We actually went out there and physically visited the folks out there, reviewed the COCASA results. What we really wanted to do was try to migrate them to from being a paper form reporter to explaining to them the benefits of using the IIS. And so, and we discussed with them the importance and necessity of deleting or inactivating their old inactive clients with, and talk to the office representatives. And it was really good to go on out there and visit them face-to-face, because it was gave us the opportunity to develop a relationship with them. Benefit of that was within about 4 months, they sent us a message saying, we want to migrate and we want to start reporting through ACES. Yay. Basically, because, well, partly because this is a provider site that has about 6,000 children attached to the site. So that's a lot of paper forms, and that's a lot of money that actually we're saving now that we've migrated them. Okay, so what we did is after the site visit, we went to the system, and we queried all the active clients in the system that were attached to the site. It was determined based on the child's age and their date of the last visit, and the initial data pull was looking at anybody who had not had a visit at all in 2010. Keep in mind, this was about June that this was done. We identified about 4,500 names of possible non-active clients based on that criteria and sent the whole thing to the provider site. Guess what happened? Not much. They kind of ignored it. They kind of buried it. And so we had to kind of take a look and decide what we were going to do next. So our next steps is that we actually pared it down, the original list down. I think I created about 6 or 7 different lists that were actually generated based on the age of the child. It was faxed to the provider, and we offered actually to go into ACES and code the MOGI status of these children if they were willing to go ahead and put that information in. So we saved them a step. And, of course, we targeted those that were under 36 months of age first. Now, this is an interesting chart because this kind of shows the order in which the different lists were sent, the number of records that were originally sent, the number and percent that were coded as MOGI. As you can see, I got a little creative after the first three and kind of looked at those that, okay, they're probably a little old. If this is a children's somewhat pediatric provider office, they're probably not going to have too many of them with over the age of 17. We also looked at those that had no visits in the past 6 years, because we figured, okay, that's probably pretty good. And then the next list started getting progressively, you know, sometimes what we did is trying to figure out the ones that would be the results and the best of the assessment results, and then the most bang for our buck in coding these for moved or gone elsewhere. So when we're looking at the results, since we asked them to code the reasons why these children were moved or gone elsewhere, or what their active status was, we found out that 20% of these moved out of state. And keep in mind, this is a community right on the Arizona-Nevada border. So that's a good possibility that they just kind of crossed the border. 12% went out of the area. 41% changed their provider. And then we also found out there was about 25% that they could not find a record, so those records had already been archived. So it had been quite some time that any of these records worked as far as coding. Duplicate records were identified, corrections made to names and dates of birth, and gender was identified where it was missing. And the nicest thing is that these lists were completed within 3 months, and we really got a lot of positive feedback from the person working in the provider office, because I'd actually get a fax result list back saying, do you have any more, because I've got some time and I can actually work these. It's like, thank you very much. At our annual immunization conference in Arizona, I've actually nominated this person for one of our awards as far as a thank you for all the work that she's done. I haven't heard whether she's been accepted for the award yet, but I did put in a nomination for her. Okay, so 1 year later, what I did is I ran another COCASA assessment a couple of weeks ago and used the exact same date and tried to keep it with the same cohort. So what happened is that we did decrease the number of patients that were assessed. The 431331 rate actually went up to 30%. It was at 20%. And the DTaP drop-off rate was at 44%. And this is actually looking at immunizations as of March 2010. Running it for current immunizations, that 431331 rate actually went up to 40%. So I'm seeing some progress there. Lessons learned on that, definitely use smaller lists. You know, got better results and much more cooperation when it was pared down to something that was achievable. Offered to code the records for the provider. It generated really goodwill and cooperation. And of course, you know, better completion rates resulted due to the MOGI coding. Now to go on to the other half, and I've been trying to figure out how to transition from one to the next, but it really doesn't work. But anyways, we refer to them in Arizona, well, actually, I refer to them in Arizona as fragmented records, and it's basically what everybody refers to as duplicates, but what we find is that they're more fragmented because it's not necessarily a true duplicate from one record to the next. You've got bits and pieces of the immunization history on the child, and so when you merge them all together, then you get a more complete history. Okay, so Arizona does have a very robust deduplication algorithm, but the duplicates are frequently missed. And, you know, how do you go about identifying duplicates in 4.3 million patient records? It gets pretty daunting. And what we also wanted to do is we wanted to create a mechanism that wasn't automated, because we wanted to bring some human judgment into the process. And so a couple of years ago, we worked with our staff programmer to identify some reports and run one that generates on landscape legal paper. And it generates listings of probable matches and possible matches. And it works on different criteria. It requires first name, last name, and date of birth, and then one or more of the address, the guardian name, and the mother's maiden name. And it does work pretty good, but we did find that, you know, we seem to still be missing a bunch. A lot of times we get user-reported duplicates where you think, why wasn't this picked up somehow, some way? And, of course, we run that in manageable numbers as far as those reports, try to trim down those reports to date of birth ranges that are going to be beneficial for our project. And so with the ERA funding, we were able to develop 5 new reports. We took the original report and did some variations to it. And so this one here actually strips off some of the address information, such as streets and directions and apartment numbers and that sort of thing. And then it also looks at hyphenated last names. Keep in mind, this is a computerized program, and it's very literal as far as the way the computers work. And so therefore, what we tried to do is normalize between the hyphenated names and trying to take different versions of the hyphens. We did one that matched on the Social Security number and on the Medicaid ID. Both of those matched between the guardian and the child also. And then we did another one that was kind of looking at and trying to capture the those lost birth records that come from vital records. And that one actually does not look at baby's name, but it looks more at the date of birth and the maiden name or the guardian's name. And then we've got the last one that we haven't quite completely rolled out because it's going to be a lot more challenging, because this one that does not take date of birth is one of the primary match criteria. And so therefore we know that's going to be large, and we're trying to still try to determine the best way to run that report. We figure it will either be by actual site or county, some sort of jurisdiction, or start going alphabetical. Some early findings on that one with the Social Security report. Oh boy, remove anything that has less than 9 characters. And try to remove the nonsense ones because, lessons learned. You know, when you go to print something out and it's like 100 pages worth of 9999s and a whole lot of ones and 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, the bogus Social Security numbers. And we found out eventually that it was not necessarily the best for merging duplicate records, but it is very useful for data cleaning. The baby name report, we found out that multiple births kind of have a tendency to throw a monkey wrench in that one. And so we altered the report to add the birth order and the birth certificate file number in that. And we did find that, yes, it is very good to match that birth dose of hepatitis B with other records. I'm almost done here. And I actually still have a voice. That's pretty good. Overall lessons learned. Deduplication, of course, is a very time-consuming process. You need to try to automate it, because believe me, we killed so many trees over the past couple of years running these reports, because they are landscape legal and they are absolutely huge, and it's very difficult to track your results when it's all done on paper. So we're in the process over the course of the remainder of the 2011 is that we're going to be generating a process to automate this. It's going to be on a screen where the reports are generated from the screen. It's tracked. They can put the results can be added, and then it can be really used to identify how much time and the benefits of these different reports. Work with the reports that are likely to match first, because what happens is that most of these children kind of show up on multiple reports. As far as some of the matching criteria. And as usual, even with staff, limit it to something small that they're willing to work at, because you will get a little bit of pushback if you hand them something that's, you know, when they were on paper, if they were 3 inches thick, you know, kind of got a little bit of hesitancy to work those. And so, you know, eventually the overall goal is that you've got cleaner records, less duplicates, and so therefore within the registry, when you're the IIS, when you are running some completion reports out of that, it actually comes out to being better completion based because of that. And yay, I'm done. Any questions? Thank you.